Player, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Ken Smuckler report?
To go down.
Across the chest, across the... There you go. I'm ready now. I'm buckled in.
Shoulder harness.
Got it.
Lap belt.
Okay. Got it. Got it.
Ken Smuckler, good morning.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, Jay and Juan. Two men enter, one man leaves. Two men enter, one man leaves. This is your Smuck Report, presidential debate edition. Tom, in the days leading up to the debate, word out of Team Hillary was that she was studying up for the debate like Elle Woods cramming for the law school boards and Legally Blonde 1. McDonald, when asked if she was going to engage in practice debates, started channeling AI. Practice? We're talking about practice? Come on. Look, the bar was set low from the outset. For the Donald, it was whether he could look more presidential than Urkel running against Margie Flagman for freshman class president of Vanderbilt High in season one of Family Matters. For Hillary, it was whether she could stand for 90 minutes under the lights without fainting like one of Kanye's Yeezy season four models on Roosevelt Island. Then the cameras open up onto Lester Holt, who looked and sounded like, well, Professor Pete Dixon from Room 222. And really, Tom, I thought Lester did a great job. I mean, the last time an African-American made such a splash on Long Island, Arthur Ashe beat Tommy Ocker in the U.S. Open at Flushing Meadows. And that was 1968. And then the lights went up on the Mac Arena at Hofstra University, and two things stood out. First, the sexual tension between Bubba when he greeted the Queen of Zamunda as she crossed the front of the stage. Two words, Tom, meow. Then, there in the front row was Donald Jr., the Fredo in this Trump Godfather series, Donald's mini-me, who made a joke about the Holocaust and compared Syrian refugees to a pack of Skittles, proving once again that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in the Trump Garden of Eden. Now, the candidates take the stage. There's Hillary Clinton, looking like she took a U-turn into a Kabuki Theater dressing room, entering in a fire-red kimono. Memo to Hillary, you're not running to rule the land of the rising sun. And Donald Trump, did you hear this, Cat Tom? He sounds like he needed a CPAP machine. I swear, I thought I was watching a zombie with sleep apnea. We haven't heard this many sound effects in a presidential debate since Al Gore's Sayonara during Bush Gore 2000. The debate begins, and Lester tells us the first topic area is achieving prosperity, which should have been just called "Show Us Your Tatas." As the debate between Donald Trump's, it became a debate between Donald Trump's releasing his taxes and Hillary Clinton releasing her emails. Now, it is true that the Donald runs away from releasing his taxes like a pregnant woman running from a Zika party, but playing the best defense is a good offense. The Donald tried to turn it on Hillary, saying he would release his taxes if she released her emails. And really, Tom, it's becoming painful watching Hillary Clinton deal with her emails. When Hillary uses the phrase, "I can't recall," as the answer of choice 40 fucking times in an FBI interview, your short-term memory is somewhere between Drew Barrymore in 51st Dates and Ellen DeGeneres' Dory in Finding Nemo. I really think, Sybil, Hillary's lack of memory is a better strategic option than when she does remember. I mean, really, this is the same woman who said she thought the letter C on her email stood for, well, the letter C, rather than the word confidential. Tom, that's like Hester Prynne thinking the scarlet letter A on her head stood for best in class, rather than the smucking word adultery. But Trump failed to bury her with their emails. For an issue that Donald should have spent 30 minutes on, only 3 minutes of the debate went there. I mean, really, Jay, Hillary's emails disappeared from the debate like Brad Pitt from Brangelina marital bed. The second part of the debate was called America's Direction, which was code for Negro Night at the debate. Now, when it comes to the race issue in America, the fault line runs through Ferguson, Baltimore, and now Charlotte and Tulsa. Hillary, when she heard Lester Holt raise the issue of race, I'm sure thought that the Donald would bring up the fact that it was Bill Clinton in the 1996 crime bill that defined young African-American males as super predators and criminally institutionalized a generation of these young men. It was the Clintons in 1990s who set the table for Black Lives Matter, but the Donald couldn't figure this out. I swear, this guy couldn't get the right answer if it was written out on the sash covering one of his swimsuit models. He used the term, He used the term law and order as though just saying it makes crime disappear from urban America. Like Harry Potter waving his wand and saying, expecto patronum, to shield himself from the Dementors. Ben Lester took us to a village in Kenya to wade through the birther issue. The five-year fraudacy that Donald Trump took us on, only to end last week when Trump's admission that Barack Obama was indeed born in the United States. Trump immediately blames Hillary for first raising the birther issue, blaming some dude named Sidney Blumenthal, a Hillary confidant in 2008, who allegedly sent someone to Kenya to investigate Obama's birth. Now, at this time, I'm pretty sure that most Trump supporters' eyes rolled up into their heads as they started clicking over to watch reruns of Archie Bunker on TV Land. So I'm not sure this will move the numbers much in the national polls. But then Trump takes credit for getting Obama to release his birth certificate, even though by getting the birth certificate released, it proved Trump was wrong all along, which I'm pretty sure a guy like Sidney Blumenthal would call sheer chutzpah. Really, Tom, Trump taking credit for the birther issue is like Bernie Madoff telling the members of the Palm Beach Polo Club to give him a pat on the back for uncovering the bogus dividend statements he sent them all those years. So the final topic was making America secure, which began with a discussion on cybersecurity, which led Trump to paint the vision of, in his words, quote, someone on their bed who weighs 400 pounds hacking into American cyberspace. And now I'm thinking it was Governor Krispy Kreme all along that was on his bed telling us, taking away our data, which is only fitting as the debate devolved at the end into a debate about Trump's opinion on women, which Trump defends by throwing in Rosie O'Donnell. So now I'm left, after 90 minutes in the fate of the free world hanging in the balance, with a vision of Krispy Kreme and Rosie O'Donnell rolling around on a bed as the greatest threat to our national security. And that's the Smuck Report. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter at Smuck Report. The next presidential debate is October 9th. Look for the Donald to go after Hillary like Jennifer on Claudia in season 1, reunion 2 of the next 15. And look for Hillary to take out the Donald like Pumpkin Spit Down of New York on Flavor of Love. Smuck off. Smuck out.
All right.